Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
We're brothers from New Hampshire. With venture capitalists.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sick of that. Let's be from Vermont and let's have an emerging maple syrup conglomerate.
With Dusty Hera.
Stupid, we don't know anything about maple syrup.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I happen to know everything there is to know about maple syrup. I love maple syrup. I love maple syrup on pancakes. I love it on pizza. I like to take maple syrup and put a little bit in my hair when I've had a rough week. What do you think holds it up, slick?
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
I'd like to be pimps from Oakland or cowboys from Arizona, but it's not Halloween. Grow up, Peter Pan.
The Fan.
All right, hour number three, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Rolling along. It's supposed to be great weather this week and then rain on the weekend.
That's what I hear.
Gosh, dang it. 87 on Thursday, I think. 87 degrees.
We're the king of yeah, right now of about. Weather fluctuation.
I saw it could get to 90.
What?
And then back to rain.
And then back to rain.
No complaints, though.
None. None. Rain makes the
we love it. Clean air.
That's right. And makes it our pansy lungs happen. Okay. You see Reggie Bush had to say over the weekend?
I did.
He got a little fired up about this, too.
Blown out of proportion.
His comment got blown out of proportion. Absolutely. Oh,
big surprise that Reggie Bush is now lashing back at ESPN in their salacious headlines.
Ooh. Because the headline, it was misleading. The original
clickbait that's going on in this country right now. Well, media.
It's stupid.
It's epic jokestersons.
Yeah. I concur. It is epic jokestersons. The initial headline was Reggie Bush against paying or against name, image, and likeness. Now it has been changed. It says Reggie Bush says paying college athletes will, quote, destroy some people, which isn't a great headline either. But what Reggie Bush did is he did an interview with Playboy. Raise your hand if you knew Playboy was still doing interviews.
Yeah, of course. Playboy All-Americans.
I thought they were shutting down, like, the publication.
That's the last that I heard.
But still digital. Still digital content.
Oh, I thought it was just shutting down, period.
Wait, like, digital content as in, like, pictures and stuff still?
No, they'd still do their articles and stuff online. You got to have digital content.
Well, that's a dad quote, if I've ever heard one. You read it for the articles. That's what every dad has said at some point in time who had the Playboy subscription. But what he did say is something that I find very interesting. He was asked if he would be interested in coaching. He said, nope, no coaching for me. Maybe I'd take a front office position, but I'm not trying to go back and coach. I'd like to help people, but I'd rather just pop in for guidance. Guidance is the one thing that young athletes coming through the college system miss on so much. I missed on it. They're about to start paying college athletes. This is something that has never been experienced before, and it's going to destroy some people if their foundation is not in the right place. And if you take that in
extremely misleading on ESPN, that was a major, just a faux pas.
Yes, because context is very important. And I don't think Reggie Bush is wrong in this at all.
Well, of course not. I mean, it's like if you don't wear a seatbelt and you get hurt in a car crash, should you have educated yourself and put a seatbelt on? Probably. Probably. So what we're saying is that if you give a young person excessive amounts of money on top of what the collegiate rules already allow you to have, that young person who's a young adult might make a couple bad mistakes, not shocking here. So really, the fix is kind of like what Reggie Bush is saying. You need to educate more. You need to invest in preparation more. I get overly exhausted with everybody, and then the side of if it's too hard, let's throw it out. Let's throw it out. We can't do it. We can't do it. It's too hard. It's too uncomfortable. It doesn't work, so let's not do it. Instead of actually taking the side is let's keep our rules. Let's change the rules. Let's add name, image, and likeness. And you know what we need to do as coaches and professors and higher staff members and higher educators? We now can take the point where we can educate these young athletes and these young adults how to manage money, how to handle with the stress, how to handle what it's like when someone says, give me this, when I can buy these things. What are those anxieties? What are those stressors? Mm-hmm. What are those impulses like? How can we handle and learn those aspects instead of hiding from it and using the excuse, well, they can't handle it, so we're just going to take it away. No, start educating more and learning how to deal with it, because these are the processes that everybody else in the human race does.
I've said this for years and years and years, and I think it is something that every Division I major conference should do, which is have a PE course that is economics based, and it is for athletes, and it is for, and every student can take it if they want to. But one thing, if you are a major university, having your student athletes who are on a pathway to professional sports, learn how to manage going from broke to millions of dollars. Like, that be the curriculum of it. Because a lot of these athletes are going from nothing, and then all of a sudden you've got multiple zeros in your bank account, and you're going, I have no frame of reference on what I should do with this money, who I should trust, or where I should be putting my money.
So I can speak to this pretty specifically, because I went through those trials and tribulations and those struggles, and I still battle with, because I have, you know, my wife and I, she's the saver, I'm kind of the spender, and I've had to back it all off because I had catastrophic losses in 2008 with a lot of people. And I also had decisions made while I played, which I would have made better decisions. And I didn't have that education. It's not, and I'm not trying to poke holes in what your thought process is. It's not an economics class. It's a life financial skills class.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Well, economics, when I hear economics, I hear someone trying to say trickle down or supply and demand. There is no other lifestyle that gives you an immediate windfall of competition with money like professional athletics does. It is unrealistic when a first round pick competes with a seventh round pick, which I've seen happen, but a seventh round pick doesn't have first round money. And it also doesn't get surrounded by an entourage of investors, an entourage of people knocking at your door that say, here, invest in me and take with me, and agencies that want that, and then friends, and then financial guys, and then real estate people, and then television production companies. I had friends in New Orleans that got taken to the woodshed by a television production company. And one of the teammates was the ringleader that got a bunch of guys. Drew Brees was one of them that lost a lot of money in this quote unquote documentary that was supposed to happen, and it didn't go over well with teammates and a lot of those things. And that was a teammate that brought those investments to football players. Now, this happens in corporate America, but athletes aren't prepared for it because that's not their real job. Their real job is playing football. So when we talk about the economics, a specific football or professional sports economics class with the stresses and to teach them what it's like, here's $100. Your buddy right down the street, your buddy right next to you, he has $1 million. You got to try to compete with him on $100. Go. What are you going to do?
I thought it was,
because this happens,
pretty telling when Tom Brady said it during the match 2.0, when he was asked about the prank that Drew Bledsoe played on him. And yeah, he said, I learned you don't mess with people with more money than you.
Absolutely not.
Because there's that competition too of, well, I'll just outspend you on this. And, you know, that is one of the things that happens with a lot of professional athletes as well.
And I've probably told this story before, but this is an example of some of the things that I thought were just hellacious when we played. We had a team dinner, and a football team dinner goes when you have the rookies space out the amount of money. Well, there's an exorbitant amount of money, but let me just share. When the bill was done with the Patriots dinner, okay, food, just the food cost $2,200. You know what the final bill was? $58,000. The food was $2,400, $25. The rest was all alcohol. You know what the first round share Daniel Graham was? Divide that by your draft status. I think he wrote a $19,000 check or had to put check. Here's a rookie who's 21 years old. Just had to throw 19 grand away on a bunch of guys drinking beer and drinking Louis. It was more than beer and all these other things.
I was going to say $56,000 in just beer would be a lot of beer.
How would you teach a young collegiate athlete to handle that stuff? How would you teach them? Would he stand up to his teammates and say, I'm not paying for this? Well, he's shamed. This is what we do. This is our procedure. Now, I don't know if that happens as much anymore because you hear stories about guys having to pay for things and stuff like that and rookies having to. I mean, I had to bring donuts and food as a rookie, and I had to buy certain things during training camp, which I thought was ridiculous, and I'm buying linebackers, Grand Meunier. Why am I buying all you bunch of fifths? Well, this is what we do, man. I'm like, why am I being pressured into this crap? But that's how the league worked. Now, I don't know if it's as much anymore, but Reggie Bush is spot on. There's nothing wrong with giving people money. There's also nothing wrong with name, image, and likeness. What's wrong is we need to educate better and share those stresses and those anxieties so they understand how to deal with it better. And now, not just pretend that an 18-year-old is going to know what to do with an extra $5,000 a month.
The competition thing is right on point. And I think what Reggie Bush also hit on is also a big problem as well. You mentioned how a teammate brought in a production company that kind of swindled people out of money. And he said, I hired good agents, I hired a good team, but I allowed that team to make decisions for me. I'm not saying I'm going bankrupt, but if I had the proper knowledge back then, some things would be different.
I feel the exact same way. And if I would have just had a mentor around me or some of those things and not put the trust in a few things differently, what would I have done differently if somebody would have helped me and been there and done that? And I would do that, and I would, just like Reggie Bush, I would educate and I would share with these guys. Now, some want to listen and some don't. You can't stop a guy from wanting to line his rims with Louis Vuitton and put 26 televisions in a car. I can't stop somebody from doing that.
Richie Incognito.
I know. I can't stop a seventh-round pick who was, 240th pick, try to spend like Kurt Warner. Mm-hmm. And show up in game day cards. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't even afford this stuff. Well, that's just, I'm going to be playing forever. Money's going to keep rolling. Is that education or is that just a lifestyle choice?
Well, I think that you are in it. Part of that education is that you're not really going in with a full clip, right? You only got a couple bullets in that gun that you're heading into the NFL with. And, the point he makes is that the more money you have, the more danger you're in because you're an open target for a lot of people. It's a nasty world out there, and it's about to get a lot nastier.
You guys always laugh at me when I say I'd give 95% of my money if I ever won the lottery away. I'd give 95%. I'd give it all away and keep a little bit just so I can go play golf because I know that lifestyle.
But there is, and that is where I think a lot of the collegiate model kind of lets down the athletes beforehand is because he even said it. I had good agents and I had good people around me, but he had no idea where to put his money, how to put his money, and that is him heading into the NFL without a proper knowledge of what you do going from being a college kid to being a millionaire.
The final thought of it is it's not the college kids that are the problem, and it's not the boosters, and it's not the marketers that want to pay. It's the leeches on the outside that take advantage of them. If we can fix that and educate that, name, image, and likeness will be the best thing college football ever did.
Damian Lillard having a change of course here. It's actually pretty big news from Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports. We'll talk about what Dame Dalla had to say about the potential return of the NBA. Dustin Kam on the Fan. All right, we talked about it at 6:15, what the NBA return may look like. Three proposals that Woj is saying the NBA is looking at when they head back to the bubble, which is more and more looking like it'll be Disney World in Orlando. One of them is all 30 teams to finish out the regular season because of the fact that you have a lot of these NBA teams, their regional television networks are built in to the fact they have to play 70 regular season games. And if you look at where the NBA schedule is, you have anywhere between like 65 and 69 games played for NBA teams, I guess. And if you look at that, you have to get to 70 to get all your regional TV money, they could be, bring back all 30 teams just to play out the regular season. The second option is a play-in tournament where teams that are close and on the playoff bubble, like Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, they get a chance to get into the playoffs. And then there's the third option, which is just play the playoffs right away. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're more prone to just playoffs as a return. Is that correct, though, sir?
Yeah, I don't think it needs to prolong anything. We don't need to add the old, let's let those guys get in. It's already set. Let's go.
East, yeah, you mentioned earlier, the East is decided. The fact that the nearest team in the nine spot is like 5 or 5.5 games out, I don't want to say there's no point, but if you're not going to give them the full 15 or 18 games they have to get back, then there's no, there's no point.
Right.
Now, the Blazers have played 66 games.
The West is a different story.
And the West is a different story because the Blazers sit 3.5 games behind Memphis, and that would be with 14 games to play in the regular season. And then New Orleans is there with 3.5 games back, and then Sacramento also 3.5 back, and the San Antonio Spurs are 4 games back. And so would a play-in tournament help, or, you know, all 30 teams coming back to play to get for a chance to play the rest of the regular season? Because if they play just to 70, just to get those games in for TV, and then it's over, the Blazers really don't have a shot because they have zero margin for error, and they would need Memphis to lose every single game, right?
And of course, if you're the Lakers, Clippers, or if you're Milwaukee and you're Toronto, what's your motivation to even put out your good players if you already know, you're like, all right, we're locked up. All right.
Well, LeBron has been vocal in that they want a tune-up. He wants a tune-up to get into playoff basketball because they'll be going from, 3 months, 4 months on the sidelines to just straight playoff intensity basketball.
And seven games.
He wants a tune-up.
Yeah.
And that would be like having a pool play where you have the...
Well, we'll see how much power LeBron James has. Yeah.
You have the top 6 seeds all locked in, and then there's 2 open spots. 7 and 8 seeds are open.
I also
open.
Want hair, too.
Yeah.
You'll see how that worked out for us.
In a pool play type thing where everybody plays, but you play those things out, and then the 4 teams fight for a chance to get in to the playoffs. Well, Damian Lillard has talked to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, and he's against the finishing out the regular season if they just try to get to 70. He said this, quote, "If we come back and they're like, we're adding a few games to finish the regular season and they're throwing us out there for meaningless games and we don't have a true opportunity to get in the playoffs, I'm going to be with my team because I'm a part of the team, but I'm not going to be participating. I'm telling you that right now." And you can put that blank in there.
Yeah, I agree
with
saying,
him. I'm not playing.
Yeah, there's no value to it. If you don't have a value or an incentive, what are you just doing out there collecting? Because then... we just know what you're doing. You're there to grease the wheel. You're just pandering to all of us to try to say, let's get some television money. And the players are like, look, I'm not going to, there's no value. There's no value. It's like playing a weekend tournament with no real champion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's the point? And I agree with him. That's why you just need to start the playoffs because everything else is fake. If LeBron, you want to tune up, you know what you guys can do? Practice. How about practice? You want to have a couple preseason games or do you want to just practice against each other and say go? I don't care what you want. Let's go.
I mean, we all know game intensity is different than practice.
Don't tell the Dream Team that. 92, man, those games were ruthless.
Well, that was it's
Michael Jordan filming Space Jam. Those practice games
but
were ruthless.
There was something on the line in those games because it was that changing of the guard, like they said. Like, it was the new age taking over the young age.
I want them to be uncomfortable. I want LeBron James to be uncomfortable. I want all those guys to be – they're already not probably in the best shape, but I want it to be incentive right out of the gate. You want to have great viewing? Have Ja Morant score 40 and go one up on the Lakers in game one and watch – the panic and the drama set in. Give me that. That is must-see television. Watching LeBron James get a couple meaningless games to play Sacramento and New Orleans a couple times just because we're worried whether Zion is going to make it in.
I'm on board for the play-in with pool play because you'll get some of those games. Those guys can tune it up, but you also have something on the line with you have playoff spots at the bottom of the league that are going to be up for grabs there. And Dame... He went on to say, if we come back and I don't have an opportunity to make the playoffs, I will show up to work. I'll be at practice and I'll be with my team. I'm going to do all that blank. And then I'm going to be sitting right on the bench during games. If they come back and say it's something like a tournament, a play-in style between 7 and 12 seeds, if we're playing for playoff spots, I think that's perfect. Because he's also probably looking at as Nurk is probably going to be back and Zach Collins could be as well. And that's kind of outlined in this article that Haynes has up is like Nurk was scheduled to make his debut 2 months ago.
Yeah, there's no value now.
What do you mean?
No point. There's no value for him to do it.
Well, wouldn't there be value if everybody has taken time off? So the playing field isn't as uneven as it was 2 months ago because everybody was in game shape and he wasn't. Now everybody's kind of back to the same playing field as Nurk and he could come in and try to go with 2 extra months of rehab.
It's up to him. I don't think I would probably. Kevin Durant's not going to do it. Kevin Durant's like, nope, not coming back till next season. And what's are you going to make a deep playoff run? I probably don't think so. The roster is not good enough. No, you do know. This team's not winning a championship. It's not getting out of the first round. You're not beating the Lakers.
Zach Collins, well, if you're the 7 seed, you'd have the Clippers.
You're not beating the Clippers or the Lakers in 7 games.
Dusty, are you saying they're a healthy Zach Collins?
They're healthy.
Oh, God.
Healthy
here
Zach
we go
Collins
again.
Away.
Oh, Jesus.
No, he was, no, he
you
was
and
supposed
your
to
Zach
be back.
Collins love fest.
He was supposed to be back in March as well. So, I mean, you're looking at 2 extra pieces to the Blazers, which you could get some action from them.
Yeah.
I don't.
Saddle up, get not, healthy, and get ready for 2021.
You're not beating the Clippers or the Lakers, though. We know that.
Well, you might sneak them in one game. You might
not
get swept.
Wait, now you're changing the...
No, I said we're talking about a series. Are we talking about a series or a game?
That's exactly what you're talking about.
You're not winning a series.
You just said they're going to get swept by him.
No, I did not say swept. I said you might sneak a game, but you're not winning or beating the Lakers or the Clippers in a series.
Yeah.
I was pretty clear about that.
For sure, and they wouldn't, and we know that. But I think getting a little bit of that rust off would be fun to see. And Dame, though, he's saying if you're just trying to get 70 games in, he wants no part of it. And I bet the league knows that. And this has been a talk that's been done behind closed doors because why in the world would anybody come back to play if you're New York? If
we
you're
know
the
Steve
Knicks.
Kerr's not going to. They've already in offseason mode.
Well, yeah, they've been eliminated. They win 15 damn games this year.
They don't care.
You know, but good luck getting anybody from, you know, why would anybody on the Suns want to play? You know, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to make a playoff run.
If you're a compensated professional athlete and your league told you to play, you would play.
Well, Dame's not. He's saying it. He's saying, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, LeBron James also said, I'm not playing in front of fans, without fans, a couple months ago. If there are no fans in Disney, LeBron, you're playing. So things change.
Well,
quickly.
Well, you just said you were on board with him.
I'm a fan. I'm a radio host. I'm not Dame. I can say whatever I want. See what sticks.
I like the fact that Dame is just sitting there going, if we don't have a chance, we're not going to play. Because, look.
Hey, more power to him.
Everybody that says, oh, the paid professionals, you got to finish out. That's what you get paid to do.
Yeah, I don't care.
Guys like
do.
Dame, he has enough money where he can say,
sure.
Why would I?
Yeah, but there are a lot that don't have that.
Exactly. And those guys will play. Mm-hmm. And they should.
All right. Like Anthony Simons needs to get more run.
Sure does. So does Zach Collins, right?
That's your boy.
I'm not.
I don't know. You
got a
love
done.
Fest with him.
I'm not done with him. You guys are.
I'm not
are
done
ready.
With him either. I just don't think he's a piece that is a championship edition piece
well,
yet.
Absolutely not.
Well,
but
you seem to think he's like that magical piece.
What? No. I'm saying that he has shown in the playoffs last year. Even was it against Denver? That. He has those flashes where you go, all right, I'm not giving up on him. There's a lot of
Kevin Love right now, and I would trade him for Kevin Love right now, and I need another bag. Just get him out.
There is not enough we've seen to give up on old Zach Collins yet, or young Zach Collins yet. 55305, that's a fan text line. All right, the match 2.0, would it work with other celebrities? Here's Buck. Hey, we had two great sports things on Sunday. We had the match 2.0, Tiger Phil, Peyton and Brady. Did you watch any of the Lance Armstrong documentary, the 30 for 30?
No, I don't have a lot of interest in that unless it's absolutely necessity. No, yeah. I haven't watched it. No.
It was pretty fascinating because when you take it and you look at the Jordan 10-part Jordan doc that we just watched, and then you take this Lance Armstrong one, you can tell why the documentary guys were so, like Ken Burns, they were all fired up about, hey, this is just, you know, Jordan had a hand in this and all that stuff. They had no holds bar on Lance Armstrong. And I'll give Lance Armstrong credit for one thing, is that he knew that he'd get kicked in the teeth in this thing, and he still did all the interviews. And because he outlined it at the beginning, he's like, look, either you like me or you don't at this point. There's a lot of people that don't.
Yeah, I don't dislike him. I don't really. That's the other thing is I've learned so much about the cycling industry, but everybody knew it was doping. And so what? He did that. He beat Cam. I'm not going to say so what, what he did. But the guy still did something incredible that, again, we're already shredding Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds for being in an era of steroids where quite a few players are doing it. And those guys are the poster childs because they were the best of the best. It's kind of like Lance Armstrong would have been great with or without steroids if everybody would have been off steroids in cycling. He just happened to be even better than everybody taking the same stuff as everybody else was.
Yeah, he was, he actually was the world champion before he even started doping. Yeah. And then he said in 94, he showed up and he just got smoked all year long. And that was because when EPO became a deal. Oh. And what I did find out is there's a lot of people that you could tell they do not like Lance Armstrong.
Okay.
And they were talking about how doping was so prevalent and nobody cared in cycling. Like nobody did. And it wasn't like to sit there and just put it all on Lance Armstrong is something that they were like, dude, it was so, so prevalent and nobody even hit it, you know? And that was, I learned a lot about cycling and a lot about Lance Armstrong that I had no idea about. Like, you know, did you know cycling is a blue collar sport? I would never have thought that.
I watched less than half of that last night, but yeah, finding out that it was like miners who started doing it.
Yeah. And over in Europe, it's like tough guys do it. It seems like a total white collar sport over here, you know?
Interesting. I've never really.
It was really interesting. But then you say a lot of.
What does a blue collar person in Europe look like?
Well, they're miners. Like,
I find
farmers, laborers.
Yeah.
Okay, but isn't it pretty expensive? No, isn't it a pretty expensive sport?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, this is just the origins. This is just how it started. Yeah. These guys would kind of challenge each other. Okay. The guys who worked together, and it was kind of the toughest of the tough guys would compete in it.
And they now ride in teams. I bet a lot of didn't understand that cycling is a team sport.
Yeah.
Well, that and Lance and really a bunch of the other former teammates of his that were interviewed said that when the doping thing started happening, it was kind of like, okay, you're doing this because we're all doing this, or we're shipping you out of town. You're either going to be part of this or you're not, but this is the way we're doing it.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
There were a lot of similarities between him and Jordan, like making up rivalries in his head and things that people said. There's a lot of like name calling to get that either you're on board or you're out kind of deal, like the, you know, Scotty Burrell type stuff. And, there was like that, you know, they outlined in the Jordan doc, the inadequacies that Jordan felt growing up because his older Larry was a favorite child in the family. Like Lance Armstrong had a lot of that growing up. And it was pretty fascinating from that standpoint. And what I think is pretty cool is that you don't really get the feeling of Lance Armstrong is going to be able to just say his piece and everybody's going to believe it. Because every time he says something, there's like three people that come on right after to either contradict it or back it up. And you get more of a true story of it, which is pretty interesting to see from a cycling standpoint. But I don't know. I would recommend it if you haven't seen it.
It's definitely worth a watch. Yeah. I'm not going to poo-poo that at all. It's probably quite interesting, but I don't know if it sheds light on an opinion about him more than what everybody kind of already feels.
Yeah, to that point, there's a really good quote from one of his former teammates that says, I don't know where the line is between a good guy doing bad things or a bad guy doing good things. That's where Lance Armstrong.
Well, he raised a lot of money for people. I mean, he went through. Yeah. I mean, he did a lot of good for research. And I mean, it's not like he didn't do something. Can he always be a great guy?
Yeah.
He's a champion. You can't take that away.
And episode, we have texters coming in on this for the reason why they don't. Episode one did not talk about how he just basically went scorched earth on everybody that wronged him and outed him for his cheating.
Yeah.
He ruined a lot of lives. And episode two, they're going to start getting into that. So that'll be interesting. Hmm. But before the Lance doc, we had the match 2.0. We talked a lot about how it was a great day just to have those guys jawing back and forth. Tom Brady looking like a human. We had golf and something competitive, and you had two guys that were the best golfers in the world playing with two guys that weren't. And why isn't anybody talking about how Peyton Manning, he kind of held his own for a long stretch of that. Like, he played really well.
He's also been retired for 5 years and Brady hasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an advantage. If you have a little bit more free time to sharpen your game up, Brady hasn't had as much free time. We all know Tom Brady likes to watch film, probably doesn't practice his golf swing very often.
Well, and we know the week before he was working out with his teammates in Tampa.
Do you really think that he's concentrating on golf right now? Well, here's my other thing. I don't want Tom Brady to be good at golf right now. I want him to be good at football. The other three, even Peyton, now he's funny. He should be better. He should be better. He's been retired. What else do you do in your retirement?
You play golf. I know a lot of guys who are retired are still bad golfers, though.
I would have been really angry if Brady would have started kicking everybody's butt. Like, how much time are you playing in golf?
I do have a greater appreciation for Phil Mickelson with every single passing week, because even before the match, he gave us a little piece of greatness.
We are going to be hitting some bombs today and hellacious seeds. What's the difference? What's the difference between a bomb and a hellacious seed? Well, a bomb is high and nasty. A hellacious seed is a screaming, low, hot runner. Today's formula for victory is going to be C squared equals B plus HS equals I and V. What does that mean? Well, C squared is coffee. Not just any coffee with sugar and crap. No.
Shameless
plug. It's coffee for wellness with good stuff that gets your body to function right, your brain to function right. You couple that with calves, and you have exponential performance. That equals B plus HS, which is bombs and hellacious seeds, which equals I and V, intimidation and victory. And that is how Tom Brady and I are going to come home with yet again another belt from the match. Let's go.
He did start a brand new coffee company, so that was a great plug. His coffee company. And by the way, Phil looks great at 50. He's going to be 50 here. He looks fantastic. All those guys they're in great shape. Peyton looked in great shape. Tiger did more tee picking up before the ball landed than I've ever seen. His swing was in great rhythm. He didn't go after anything. He hit every fairway. And Phil was Phil. And Phil was great because he talked you through every scenario.
Yeah.
And even Justin Thomas goes, one thing you're going to have with Phil Mickelson, you're going to have plenty of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked him through everything.
But he also was able to talk to Tom, like when Brady was super embarrassed and frustrated early in the round, he was able to talk to him without, you know, and give him tips and pointers without being like over the top, like, this is what you need to do. He's really good at that, like finding a way to communicate without sounding like a know-it-all. And Phil, that's kind of an art to have, because Brady was super frustrated and he brought a lot of levity to the situation.
Yeah, I can't imagine being able to play golf with those guys and not wanting to ask him so many things and try to be respectful and at least not embarrass yourself. All you want to do when you play with somebody that's good, no matter if anybody's ever played with their club champion at or some guys that are single digits and you're a 10 or you're maybe a 15, all you want to do is not look like a moron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not have to pick up your ball every other hole. And so I could feel for Brady, because we've all been there. I've played with club pros. I've played with real pros. And you are so uncomfortable. You're like, man, I just don't want to look like an idiot out here. And you do sometimes. And that was good to see.
Phil talking about what he was going to do and then just doing it, it had a little Larry Bird feel to it. You know, everybody says the trash talk with Larry Bird is that he would just tell you what he's going to do and then just hit that jumper.
Yeah.
And then he's like that drive that where he cut the corner, went over the trees. And he was like, ah, I'm just going to go do it, you know? And he's like, oh, it might have been a little long. It was like 3 feet past the hole.
Well, yeah, where it landed. I thought it was more, the most unbelievable one was when he talked you through his chip, where he said, oh, this is, he hit it into that because of the spin and because of the wet golf club. And the grain was growing to see where it's dark and where I landed.
Yeah.
It, all those things. And sometimes if you're ever coached or you can describe those things, you can just replicate it. And he just does. He's the greatest short game player of all time. All time.
And Charles Barkley and Justin Thomas were great additions to that broadcast. Yeah. They were fantastic. And
doesn't that show you why golf needs to have more levity in their broadcast?
Yes. They need to. I said it earlier, man. And we both wholeheartedly agree. Connect with the golfer, with the golf fans more. Non-golf fans.
Mic'd up.
Yes.
Mic up the caddy or put a microphone near the caddy where you can ask the caddy a question. Be like, hey, ask your buddy right now and have Chuck back and forth. It's great.
Yeah.
I need to concentrate. Shh. Be quiet.
Ooh.
Be quiet. But Tiger's, I mean, you're taking pictures, snapping phones, all this other stuff. Look, we got the Masters for the tradition.
I liked that they not only were mic'd up, but that there was a direct line between the players and the commentators. I thought that was really great. Like, I mean, even it was really little, but Tom Brady not really quite knowing the rules of the drop and the club length and Immelman walking him through it. All right, here's the deal. You can set it anywhere in the second club length. You probably want to move back.
Yeah.
It's an imaginary red line. I mean, he's given him all the walkthroughs that, you know, the extremely amateur golfers don't necessarily know in the rule book.
And the great part about that was Tom Brady didn't think that his mic was live during that. Like, you could tell he was just like trying to get some sort of guidance from somebody, like the truck was in his ear, but it didn't matter because it was a wholesome part of the broadcast, which you never see in regular golf. Like, it was normal. It felt normal. Mm-hmm. Having to ask those questions. This text says favorite moment was Justin Thomas saying this.
Chuck, I'd love to see your fat ass try to jump a basketball right now.
Hey, clear.
Dive.
JT, you can't call me fat on TV. That's bullying. I'm going to call HR on you.
That's fantastic. Justin Thomas went up so many rungs.
The Karens were upset.
Oh, they Karens weren't watching, were they?
Karen is always watching.
Were they?
Yes.
Were they?
Karen and what's our guy term? Did we come up with one? Well, Is it Brad?
Brad is bro-y. Oh, Brad is bro. Not. Brad's a little bro-y.
What is the guy? What did we have the other day?
Steven?
Was that? No, it wasn't Steven.
Was it Chad?
No,
it's
Chad's
not Chad
bro.
Either. No.
I've always thought Phil sounds
like Grayson.
Philip?
Phil.
No, Phil's classic.
No, Phil's classic. Philip
it's got to be
not.
Like a Grayson.
Grayson.
Holy trust
That's
fund.
Too young. That's too young. It's got to be an older name.
So it's got to, it doesn't have to end in a sin.
No, because like only young people are named that.
That's what I'm saying. Those
but young
are the angry
aren't
youngs.
Karens.
Yeah, they are. These are 28.
What young person do you know named Karen?
I consider anyone under 40 younger. So these are all the moms that are like 25 to 35.
What person under 40 do you know named Karen?
I know a couple.
I don't know anybody that's
well,
under 40
you're from
40
Oregon.
Karen.
Nobody cares.
Nobody under 40 is named Karen
Get out
anymore.
And experience a little bit.
That has never happened.
Yeah, they do. Like 15 Karens just texted right now.
Okay. Take that L on the way out.
All right. Well, we'll take recommendations on what the male name for Karen is. And get you set for what's coming up this week, an abbreviated week on The Fan. Dusty and Cam. All right, we're getting a lot of recommendations in here for names for the male equivalent of Karen. Deal is in with Kyle is the guy. Sarah is the daughter. Yeah, if you're talking like Sarah being the daughter of Karen, then Grayson is 100% the
grandson.
No, is the son of... I don't know whether you want to go Kyle. Todd is picking up steam. I think I've said Todd.
Todd?
For a while. I've gone with Todd.
It's pretty close.
Doug is the male Karen.
And why is the carpet all wet, Margot?
And why is the carpet wet, Todd? I don't know.
That's right.
Margot.
That's right. I don't know. That was a Todd. Yeah. That's a famous Todd.
It's a Todd. And that guy is definitely complaining at all times.
Yeah, I think it's close. I think Todd might be my leader in the clubhouse. Yep.
Doug's a cool...
Douglas is a great name. I love Doug. Doug's a great name.
Richard Leave the good name Brad out of this.
No. You need a good Dick and Richard. Those are classics.
Yeah, Richard is not complaining about stuff.
No.
Richard is not.
And I admire anybody that goes by Dick. I really do.
Greg coming in? I don't see Greg as a big complainer.
This one says Conrad. Never met one under 40, and the one I have, I've never wanted to hang around with.
Conrad.
Maybe.
No, it's going to be tough to be name shaming here. You know, there's nobody you won't offend.
That's fine. This text is pretty simple. Do guys care enough to be a male Karen?
I don't know, because I've never really looked at, you know, yeah.
There's that guy. Because if you get a meme,
you get the angry gal in the sunshades, whatever, the bad Oakleys or whatever, she's the angry dog walker lady or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's no real, like, angry guy memes. It's just old man on the porch. It's just guys are just built this way.
Yeah. Yep, Todd, and you can make it plural for multiple Todds.
Multiple Todds.
Yep, there's a lot of Todds here. There's a lot of Todds. Todd will always be Isla Fisher's brother in Wedding Crashers.
Ah, yes. Imagine going up on the first tee. Here's your playing partners, Kyle and Todd.
Uh-oh.
The painting was a gift, Todd.
Painting was a gift, Todd. Oh, boy.
Want to play tummy sticks?
That one got me. All right. Well, I think are we gonna settle on Todd? So Todd and Karen with their kids Grayson.
Todd and Karen
with their kids with Grayson and Addison. Sarah. Grayson and Addison.
Anything that ends in my niece's sin. Name. Anything that ends in a sin in today's those are.
Yeah. All right. The judge has ruled. Approved. Approved. All right. We're going to have a lot more clearer pictures of returns to sports this week, and I think that that's exciting. The NBA and its board of governors, a.k.a. the owners, are going to be handing over a plan of what the NBA will look like heading into what appears to be Disney World as the bubble site.
Well done, ABC, ESPN, find its strength. Who owns the NBA Finals this year? Oh, that's ABC.
Oh, weird.
Well,
weird.
Well,
we don't know what it'll quite look like. There's three options on the table. All 30 teams coming back, finishing the regular season, then playoffs, play-in tournament, or just playoffs start right away. We will find out this week. So I'm excited for that. And then Major League Baseball's got players returning to their spring training sites and team facilities. NHL is in phase two. The Pac-12 is voting this week on a plan to move forward and what that may look like, a time and date football players can come back to campus. Look, we've had a lot of just murky times, and I think we're starting to see a little bit more clearer picture of what's going to happen with our sports. And that to me is exciting. That is very exciting to me. We finally have it.
Oh my God. You're ready.
It's been long enough.
You can go on a nice stroll with Zach Collins, and you two can be excited together.
You're damn right we will be.
Go on a walk.
Yeah.
Get your hair done up.
Ooh, I wonder what Zach Collins' hair is looking like these days.
Get yourself a hard part put in the side like Zach.
Man, yeah, Zach, I wonder if his hair game is suffering during this time.
Yeah, just get it all producted up.
Hard part. You know, having scraggly hair and turtlenecks like Collins likes to wear on the bench is not a good look, you know? There's a lot that goes into this, man.
It's a lot of prep work.
Hey, aren't you guys up in Clark County entering phase two soon?
You know what? I've stepped out of the prediction game. I just kind of do me.
Oh.
I don't know anymore. I don't know what phase 17 means. I don't know.
And it's not a prediction. I thought that was like what was happening.
I have no idea.
Oh. All right.
I'm not a scientist. Not Dr. Fauci. I don't know.
Wait. We know that you are not.
I'm not a doctor. No. Predictions.
We've known that for years.
People wearing a mask. One person.
It was just a question.
One person wearing a mask. Nobody's wearing a mask. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have any answers.
Hey, Nick Saban says he had his mask video. Did you see that?
Mask it up. I saw people with masks. I saw mannequins with masks. Keep the mannequins safe.
Ooh.
What a world.
There have been a lot of Zach Collins
at least
signings.
There weren't. At least, you know what? I can't expect sex dolls to be part of the crowd.
Well, no, I think that should happen.
Are they?
Yeah, I don't care.
Aren't they just dolls? If they're just watching a game, aren't they just dolls?
Yeah. Buck and I talked about this when you were out.
They're just mannequins. That's
who
all
was
they are.
The person that sat there and said, that's not a mannequin, that's a sex doll, I know it for certainty? How did you know that? And was that person called out for knowing that?
I don't know. If you got a plethora of those things laying around, huh? Can't they just be
That's what we talked about. Are they just like laying in the tunnel? Right behind the dugout? We don't know. A lot of Zach Collins sightings. This person says, Zach Collins at Wildlife Safari this weekend. Somebody's gotten pretty boy hair. Saw Zach Collins about a week ago at the store. His hair's looking just as good. Apparently, Zach's still getting his hair done.
He does have great hair. I have hair envy of Zach Collins.
Fantastic hair. All right, up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.